I'm talking with Iris Krasno, author of Sex After, Women Share How Intimacy Changes as Life Changes. And wanted to ask you a few questions about your new book. You know, for years you've explored the topic of marriage and what it takes to stay married. And in this book you explore sex. How important is sex to a relationship?
Well, when I talk about sex, Gabby, I talk about sexuality, and I always use the word intimacy right after it, because I think that sex is that crackle. You know, sex is that charge. But in order for a relationship to go the distance, you need true intimacy. And sex is a component of that. But it's not the physical part of sexuality leads to emotional intimacy, which leads to a sustained relationship.
So you're really talking about sexual intimacy that leads to emotional intimacy. And is there a difference between the two?
Well, yeah. So the subhead of this book is Women Share How Intimacy Changes as Life Changes. And many of my books, this is my sixth book, really focus on, you know, midlife women and beyond, you know, the baby boom and younger. And in this book, I chose to really look at women from 20 to 90, and some great men. I've interviewed men in this book, too, because they're part of this. One hopes.
The other half.
Yeah. Sometimes, usually. And it's so the you know, I start with the hooking up culture, you know, sex after college. Each chapter is sex after something, sex after college, sex after pregnancy, sex after midlife malaise, sex after you maybe re-meet your high school boyfriend on Facebook and he looks better than your husband who's grumpy and you're raising teenagers with, sex after menopause. So, you know, intimacy and sexuality are so closely twined as we age. I was stunned, really pleasantly surprised, as the mother of four sons in their 20s, that, you know, this hooking up culture that so many grown-ups are so afraid of, oh my gosh, our kids are, you know, having sex, random sex, friends with benefits, and they don't care about emotional attachment. The truth is that while these young people in their 20s definitely are enjoying their bodies and their sexuality, like I must add, many of us did while we were in our 20s, most of them still want intimacy that leads to a relationship that might endure more than one night at a bar. So although our culture is changing and sex is more in the open, believe me, I grew up and the sexiest show on TV was Love American Style, and the only body part you saw was their shoulders. And, you know, now frontal nudity is everywhere on television. We see Lena Dunham on Girls playing ping pong in only a thong.
Do you think that has made our culture more sexualized?
I think that we live in an over-sexualized culture. I think that it makes many young people particularly jaded about sex. However, I'm perennially hopeful. And, you know, as much as our culture has changed and Lena Dunham in Girls is playing ping pong or sitting in the bathtub with her girlfriend and talking as if they're at the Safeway and, you know, buying watermelons, or that was a good analogy. You know, some things fundamental about relationships and sexuality have not changed since the Bible. I really believe this. I think no matter how many partners you have and how much random sex you have, and I'm talking about the younger people, we'll get to midlife people in a minute, that people fundamentally throughout time want to love, they want to be loved, and they want to feel special and unique in the eye of their beloved. And that takes some sort of commitment and endurance and longevity. You know, intimacy, I mean, I talked to women in this book. I interviewed about 150 women in this book, ordinary women. You know, I like talking to real people about real lives and their real issues. And I would say that most people, most of these women, feel like their intimate crackle and sexual lives become deeper, richer, better. And when they can't function anymore, there's, you know, new tricks to the trade.
Well, let's go through the life stages. So when they're young, they're in this hookup culture, and you talk about that. And you talk about the fact that they are looking for love. And that's a concern of boomer parents.
Well, texting is the new foreplay.
Sexting.
And, oh, my gosh, you got to tell your kids anything you put on, your cell phone. Not only is the NSA looking, but anyone can look, So, yeah, you can text. One girl, I interviewed this British girl, and she said, frankly, I can send a text message now and be in bed with someone I barely know in 30 minutes. So, that's the new reality. The good news is most of these kids have come of age with horrible STDs, deadly STDs, and they know about safe sex. So rubbers are in backpacks, purses, and nightstands. But moving beyond that highly, and also, Gabby, as you probably know with the work you do, people are marrying later. So, mm-hmm. whereas even a generation ago and not the average age for a bride might be 22 or 23, now it's 29. So these women are marrying later, smarter, richer. They usually have their own jobs. And you know what? They like the equality of this new dating game. They like that the text message can come from them. And it's not only the men who are beckoning, come to my side. And it's an equal playing field now.
So let's talk about sex in midlife. How does it change? How do you keep the spark alive? What happens when the spark dies?
Well, it's a great question, and it's something I think about, I write about. I've been married 26 years almost, and we have 4 sons together. I call him my first husband because as of now, he still is. However, everyone talks about the 7-year itch. The truth of the matter is the 15-year itch. The peak times for divorce are after 2 or 3 years. And when you have teens or when you're at 15 years and you're starting to age, you're 44 and, you're looking in the mirror, you're seeing the first wrinkles. I've seen those like hundreds of years ago. And you're thinking, is this all there is? Right. Okay. Couple that with the fact that your high school boyfriend has just surfaced on Facebook looking as hot as he did at prom. Okay. And that's a problem. So social media contributes to the fantasy that the grass is greener on the other side. So one of 3 things or 7 things happen. I'll list you the 3. A, you end up having a really new resurgence in sexuality with your partner of 14 years, this while fantasizing about someone else. B, adultery. Adultery now is an equal opportunity employer. I'm not condoning it and I'm not condemning it. I'm a journalist, not a judge. We would be in total denial if we don't, honestly say, and marriage therapists and people like me who write about marriage, probably more than 50% of marriages that last even, someone has been adulterous during their lifespan. There are no firm statistics about adultery because everyone lies about sex. So, you go door to door and say, well, so have you had an affair? Like, no one's going to tell you that. But about 50% of marriages probably go through this. So after the adultery or after the affair, either you get a divorce or the affair fizzles out or the affair continues, like in France. Not all of France. For my French listeners and watchers, I'm not saying all of France does this. Or, you just say, I'm not going there. I'm in a marriage. I said I would. I said I do and I will, and it doesn't mean I might. Okay? So that 15-year mark is really essential. Not only are you getting sick and tired of living with the same person, you're aging. And you're thinking, gosh, I'm still in my prime. Maybe I can start over, particularly if you don't have children.
Well, and the statistic, there's a study that came out pretty recently that said 1 in 4 boomers got a divorce, is divorced. That's a huge number.
Huge.
That's way higher than the 20s and 30s.
Well, when I was writing this book and, thinking about sex after ... which I love the name of the book. I can't claim responsibility because sex always comes after something. And I remember when Tipper Gore at age 60 decided to, whoever decided what, after 40 years to leave Al Gore, and God knows why, you know, maybe because she got tired of him claiming that he invented the internet, or, you know, maybe she connected with a high school boyfriend. We don't know. But I remember, and I'm admitting this, my husband knows, I felt kind of a pang of jealousy. Here she was at 60, looking red hot or blonde hot, and she gets to start over. And 60 is the new 30, as you know, here at ARP.
Right.
And women in their early 90s are one of the fastest growing segments of the aging population. So after 40 years, Tipper Gore had this whole new life ahead of her. So if the baby boomers invented everything, from the sexual revolution to political revolutions to the drug revolution to feminism, there's a sense among baby boomers, of which I am one, of entitlement. You know, the me generation, we're the first generation. You know, our parents of the Depression era didn't look in the mirror and go, gosh, am I happy? You know, it wasn't, yeah. They were surviving. We want happiness. We expect happiness. You know, we're the healthiest generation over 50. And we want love. And we're sexual. And if we're losing interest in our spouse, I mean, I don't think you should just dump a spouse because, you know, you don't think he or she is sexy. You know, you got to work on a marriage that's healthy. But some people are, the statistic you told me about boomers, I'm not surprised. This is the generation that navel-gazed and said, am I happy? Why? You know, they're the therapy generation. And you know what? Why not move on? It's not like divorce is a stigma anymore.
It's true. So what do you tell people who want to rekindle that spark? Maybe, you know, I think there is sort of a midlife malaise in most marriages. How do you rekindle the spark?
Well, you know, I think people forget to have sex. I think they really forget about it. They don't forget about it. They, you know, who knows how they're taking care of themselves. But, you know, we live in a two-career motorized society where we're just moving, whether you're moving from shuffling your kids to activities or moving in your own jobs and you come home exhausted. And, you know, sometimes we forget to even say, how are you, and give someone a hug. I think you have to constantly court your partner, and you have to consciously and consistently at some point, be it once a week, decide to have sex on the calendar. I remember this one woman I interviewed. I loved her. She said, you know, we have sex every Wednesday. And I said, oh, God, that sounds so boring. You know you're going to have sex every Wednesday. She goes, no, it isn't boring because we never know what time on Wednesday we're going to have sex. But, you know, a couple things on that. One of the surprises for me, I'm a journalist, not a judge. You know, I'm not a shrink, although I feel like one. One of the surprising things I uncover is how many people don't have sex at all. You know, the sexless marriage exists and goes on for years and decades, and all of a sudden somebody's 62, and this is when adultery happens, is when you meet somebody at the water cooler or on an airplane or on Facebook or on Match.com. I shouldn't be in on it because I'm married, which people do anyway, and they're turned on and they're turned off at home. So I say, just to your question, remember to have sex. You know what? This is a medical fact, and I don't know why. The more, and I can't explain it because I'm not a doctor, the more sex you have, the more you will want to have sex. And so the more sex you have, the more you will want it. And so, you know, desire is triggered by the actual activity.
So how do you, besides scheduling it, which... you know, works right. for your person, your couple, on Wednesdays.
Every Wednesday.
And besides having more sex more frequently, do you have any other tips for adding, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Set the scene.
I think another thing lingerie. I was very, very enthralled with as somebody in their 50s is I thought the most... randy, bodacious, inspirational women were all like over the age of 57. And, you know, and they became very creative in their later years. Sometimes you just have to be open to new things. You know, like I interviewed Dr. Ruth in my research, and you know, she was saying that some of her most inquisitive fans are in their 70s and, you know, trying things for the first time. A lot of the therapists that I interviewed said, you know, some of these women have been in 40-year marriages, and all of a sudden their daughter gives them a vibrator for Hanukkah, you know, or maybe not Hanukkah, or maybe a birthday, and, you know, wrapped in a Tiffany box or something. But just to be open to changing things up. You know, to be creative. And I love when somebody who's in her early 60s or early 80s sits down with me and says, you know, we're doing things that we never did before. And I may add, which is obvious, you know, sexual dysfunction is a real part of aging. And while the Viagra generation of over 60 and 70 and 80, you know, the men might thrive with this, you know, rocket sex that's possible, many of their wives and spouses and partners are just as happy with sustained hugging. And, you know, I have a whole section, Gabby, called Adventures in Outer Course.
Right.
And so
what's
while,
outer course?
Well, outer course is everything but intercourse. I didn't come up with the name. It's a good name. But, you know, I had a lot of women tell me that the Viagra sex on demand wasn't really working for them. You know, that's not that they would rather, you know, sure, they want intercourse at times, but, you know, there's nothing like extended foreplay and just nuzzling and hugging and intimacy. All right, we come back to where we started. Intimacy is not about slam, bam, thank you, ma'am. And maybe that's what it's like for the hookup culture in your 20s and in college. It's, you know, a drunk date or a drunk dial that leads to random sex with someone that you might never see again and definitely not want to see again. But sustained intimacy, you know, that pleasure of taking it slow and of kissing. Like I had this one woman who was 68, a recent widow, said, I forgot how to kiss and it's so nice.
And this was a widow who was dating again.
Dating again. So, nice.
So let me ask you something.
Anything.
I think there's a myth that older women are not interested in sex.
So the 88-year-old woman that I talked to said, one thing you have to tell your readers, Iris, I actually interviewed her in more than one book because I can always count on her to tell it like it is. She said, you need to know that sex matters till the day you die. Now, sex changes as you go through the life stages until the day you die. But, you know, and a urologist I interviewed, let's talk about men for a minute. He said the first thing that a man with a diagnosis of prostate cancer will say is, I want to still be able to, you know, the wife mm-hmm. might say, get it out of him. And then then she leaves the room and he says, I got to still have sex, you know.
Right.
And by the way, you know, one of the other really interesting facts I uncovered is this Mark Soloway, a really well-known urologist, definitely recommends when a man gets the diagnosis of a prostate cancer, don't get it cut out immediately unless it's advanced, that active surveillance and watch it. Most people will not die from prostate cancer.
Right.
And then that man and the couple doesn't look towards sexual dysfunction, incontinence, and decreased decline in health. And women, okay, so there's a woman, my last chapter really focuses on the giddy golden girls. And one of my favorite stories is a woman who was married for 49 years or 53 years, more than, you know, to husbands that they took care of for the last 3 or 4 years of their life. And all of a sudden they're 82 and playing golf and still spry. And, you know, they've got their Chanel outfits on or whatever. And they're meeting widowers and they're feeling, quote, like teenagers. Now, they may not be having the teenage sex, but they have that pitter-patter of the heart. They want to look nice for someone. They're hugging and intimate and sexy. And as one woman said, Iris, it's not 50 Shades of Grey sex, but I can tell you, it's definitely sex. So that's hopeful for us, like 50-something-year-olds, that we
Absolutely.
Can look forward to like 4 decades more And it's not sex again, it's intimacy. It's that human connection that has fueled man and human and womankind since the Bible.
So since the Bible, there have been books written about sex. What's so different about yours?
Well, I think mine's different, always different, because it's real women. You know, it's not a therapist or a quote. I mean, maybe I'm a relationship expert, but it's not a medical guide. It's real women, hundreds of real women talking about real problems, and you feel like you're around a kitchen table drinking Cabernet, and you are hearing stories that you've been afraid to share with anyone. You're hearing stories, and especially a book that goes from age 20 to age 90. Every reader is going to find themselves in one piece of this story, and men too. Mm-hmm. So what's different is that it's when we hear from our girlfriends and our sisters and even our moms, you know, maybe more our peers of what they're going through, it empowers us as we make that journey as well. So I think it's just a very comforting, comfortable, accessible, real guide that just feels like you're in my kitchen.
Do you have a favorite story?
Oh, gosh, Gabby, I do. And it'll surprise you because it's not, I feel like now I've been talking sort of lightly about things, but it's the heaviest story, it's the best story, and it's the story that epitomizes sex after. And that is, I interviewed a young woman, I think she just turned 50, I think that's young, named Vicky. Vicky was a star swimmer in high school and in college. And in her early 20s, she took a drunk dive into a swimming pool and severed her spine. And now she's confined to a wheelchair and she can't move her arms. She can't move her legs, but she drives. She works full time. She has a beautiful daughter who just turned 18. She's in a long marriage with an able-bodied man who helped her create that daughter. And Vicky and her husband have one of the most truly intimate, sexy, grounded, profound relationship of anyone that I've ever met. And they epitomize what I say at the beginning of my book, and that's sex leads to intimacy, and intimacy is that grounding force of a relationship. So she has no sensory, very little sensory, physical feelings that we all think, wow, you know, it's all about the body. It's about the body, but you know what? Sex is about attitude.
Thank you so much for coming to our studios.
Thank you so much for having me on.